EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs that are?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show, wherever in the world you are listening from. How are you doing? I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. Today we meet Brian calling from Florida in the US, and Brian will be sharing with us his UFO encounters and one incident that resulted in 3 hours of lost time. Brian, up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal, and if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Brian. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have you join us today, calling from Florida.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on the program, and I do appreciate all the good things you do in sharing that information to the world about other people's experiences.
Thank you, Brian. Now, you have several experiences to share with us. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, sir?
Sure. First and foremost, I'm a boots-on-the-ground investigator regarding UFO, paranormal cryptids, and mysterious beasts around the world for about, it's close to 50 years. I don't want to, tell my age, but I've been doing this for a while. But one of the most interesting experiences, and it continues today, started a year ago in about May 15-ish in 2021. And what happened was something I was not expecting, because as an investigator, you don't mind when things happen to you, but it involved my family this time around. So what we were doing is we were looking to move from New York down to Florida for multiple reasons, and we were looking at a home, and we kind of found a location in a home in the Palm Beach County area. And we were on our way to go sign the papers and make a purchase on this home. So I prefer not to fly. And this was during the last 2 years when we had a certain thing going around. So I felt it was easier to drive than fly. So we started driving. And what we like to do is we like to break our trip up. You can do it in under 24 hours. But that's a lot of driving and fatigue, and it's sometimes it's just better to rest. So what we do is we plan our trip, and we went from New York and we drove down to Florence, South Carolina. That's roughly the halfway point for us, or a little bit more than the halfway point. Actually, the midpoint is between a place called Fort Bragg in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and Florence, South Carolina. But when you're driving, you know, 8-9 hours, it's easier to go that extra 30 minutes initially to gain an hour on the back end. So we're driving, and of course, we started off really early, but with all this traffic, it takes you a long time to go through certain parts of the U.S. So I have my two girls in the back, my wife in the front, and it's kind of getting late, and we're on the main road, which is Route 95, and it goes north and south throughout on the East Coast. And as we're approaching Fayetteville, North Carolina, there I kept on seeing construction signs. And this is around, I would go so far as say around 11:20-ish p.m. And I have an app that I use for, tells you where the police are, radar traps, and emergencies. It's called Waze, W-A-Z-E. And I like it because you could put different voices on it. They'll tell you if there's a police officer or an accident. It also gives you updates on how long your trip will be. So I had that going, and we got to a point as we approached Fayetteville that the road was closed. So, and this was really odd. Why is the road closed? I've never heard of them shutting down the whole entire highway for whatever reason, but they did. So it said you have to get off at this exit, which was an exit in Fayetteville. And it happened to be the same exit we would normally get off on the first couple trips where our hotel was located. So I've been there before. I'm like, oh, okay, they're going to take me on some back roads to circumvent this. Everybody's passed out. And they took me from the main road of 95 and put me on a country road or rural road called 301. Now, I grew up in the summers in a summer camp, sleepaway camp in Western Connecticut. I mean, I literally grew up there. I spent almost 12 full years of my life over the summer times in this area. And what's kind of interesting is when you're on these two lane roads in the country and the moon is just out, even like three quarters out, you can literally shut your lights off and drive on that road as if you had headlights on. You can see pretty crystal clear. That's how cool the road was. So my Waze says, get off and take these roads. And I started taking 301 and everybody's passed out. From Fayetteville to Florence is 1 hour's worth of drive. It's a 11:45. I'm going to be there by 1 a.m. I'm not going to be tired the next day. Perfect. And as we're going through these, you know, get to this road 301, it kind of reminds me of being in the camp. And I noticed this strange little light up in the night sky. It's a beautiful sky, a full moon, lots of stars because there's very little light pollution. And I always notice these stars. And this star happens to be up to my right in the sky. Probably if you were looking at it in the 1 to 2 o'clock position. And what's interesting is it's changing red, orange, green, blue, violet, white, and a blink. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty damn interesting. I'm going to go check this out. And I'm also going to have a cigarette at the time because that's something I've done. And I won't do it in the car. So I have to get out of the car. And I pull off the side of this road on like a shoulder right next to like an open field where they would, you know, plant hay or whatever. My wife is passed out, snoring up the storm. The kids are out, you know, and I look at the clock. I'm like, okay, I could spend 15 minutes here, watch this. So I shut the interior light off on the truck, open the car door, close it. And I'm watching this thing and it's changing red, orange, green, blue, purple, you know, violet. Burst, red, orange. I'm like, wow, that is the coolest thing in the world. And I'm saying to myself, I wish I had my psionic, which is a scope. It's a monocle. But what's great about it is it will film in zero light. And I use it for a lot of investigations. But of course, I wasn't planning on having a UFO experience, but I left it at home. So I'm watching it and it's bursting. It's getting bigger. And I'm like, wow, this is cool. And it starts like kind of getting larger in size, and not that I see it moving towards me, it just seems to be growing. So I'm like, this is interesting. Now, if you understand on the East Coast and where Fayetteville is, there's a huge base there, a military base called Fort Bragg. And that's in Fayetteville. And Fort Bragg is notorious for a lot of military training, a lot of military aircraft, active units. And I said, you know what? Maybe this is a drone. It seems more animated. Maybe it's a drone from Fort Bragg. And as I'm watching this and smoking a cigarette, it kind of really bursts. The best way to do it, like a starburst, it pops, boom. It's real, a split second worth. It kind of gets bigger. The amplitude of the light is bigger. And I'm like, wow, that's really cool. And the next thing I know, I am in my car. And I'm like kind of waking up like I fell asleep. And I'm like, what the heck? How did I get in my car? I don't remember getting in the car. I don't remember putting out a cigarette. I don't remember opening the door or starting the car, you know, like, you know, putting it in gear. I'm just up and my head is killing me. And I look at my Waze, which is on my dashboard. It's connected to my, you know, a suction cup. And it says, do you want to resume your drive? And I said, yeah, of course I do. You know, like I'm figuring, you know, last time I checked was like 10 to 12. And I click on it and it says, okay, continue down this path. And it gives you at the bottom of the Waze, the bottom of the screen tells you, you'll arrive at. Now, if I was at Fayetteville at 12 a.m., which I was, I should be at my destination no later than 1 a.m. It now says you'll arrive at 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I forgot which one it was. And I'm like, okay, what the heck just happened? I've literally lost 2 hours of time. And something that felt like an instant, I was like, okay, that was really strange. I'm checking my watches. I'm looking at my watch. And it does tell me that it's about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be interesting. And I'm searching my mind. I'm kind of freaked out a bit because I don't know what happened. Where did that 2 hours go? 10 to 11, 11 to 12, you know, like 12 to 1, 1 to 2, 2 to 3. I mean, if there's no way I should be missing two and a half, possibly 3 hours. So it's in the back of my head, and I just focus on getting to the hotel. And when I get to the hotel, my wife wakes up and goes, she goes, oh my God, why did it take so long? It's, you know, when she wakes up from sleeping in the car, she immediately starts complaining about a headache. And my kids, you know, one of my youngest goes, Dad, my head hurts. And I said, okay, honey, you know, maybe you were sleeping wrong. Something you have to understand, my wife and kids, especially my oldest, so I have a 15-year-old and 11-year-old, my wife never complains about anything, you know, medical issues, you know. She doesn't like even take like aspirin or any of that stuff. And neither of my kids complain. No one is, and no one's in bad health. And they're all starting to claim, oh, I got a headache. My oldest is like, oh, I need some Advil. You know, I have a headache. So I'm there trying to take all this in and answer my wife without saying, we've just been abducted. We have 3 hours of missing time. Because she won't get it, and my kids would freak out. So I go in the hotel. I said there was they shut the highway down. That's why it took so long. We go inside. And I'm trying to work this out in my head while the people go to sleep. I go outside for one last smoke, trying to figure it out. I said, you know what? Let me get fresher eyes in the morning. Of course, we wake up early that day, and because we want to get on the road as quick as possible. So to describe the room, two queen beds. You know, I'm sleeping in the bed with my wife. The older and the younger are sleeping together and surprisingly not killing each other, because that's what siblings do. And so my youngest is like, Dad, can you help me with my shirt? So I said, sure. And I'm helping her put her shirt on, and her back is to me on an angle. She's raising her hand. So as I'm coming over to her with her shirt to put it on her from, you know, she's facing the wall, but I'm coming from the behind position. I notice on her pillow and just where she was laying is a blood stain. So I look at it, and then I also look at the back of the garment she was wearing, the pajamas, and there's a stain of blood there. It's not oxidized or iodized as much as it should be, you know, but it definitely she was had an incident. And then as I'm putting her shirt on, I notice on her lower right part of her back near her one of the bones in the back, the backbone, she has a scoop mark. So I said, come over here. And I looked at it, and it's an indentation scoop mark. It looks like if you took a small BB, like a 0.117 millimeter BB that you use in a BB gun, and you press it against your skin, it would make that type of indentation. But I don't see any openings or cuts for her to bleed. But I know that if she was laying down in her bed, it would be around the same spot where this blood stain was. So she picks up on that I'm being very weird and cautious about it. She goes, what's wrong? I said, oh, nothing. Nothing. I thought you had a bug or, you know, like a pimple or whatever. We go on our way. We travel that full day. We go down to Florida. We're having a pretty decent time down there, a couple of days. And a couple of days later, we go over to the complex we're going to move into that we purchased. And what's interesting is it's on old polo fields in Palm Beach. And what they do is they took an old polo field, which is this huge stretch of property, a couple of them, and they're building new homes on it. And our home's not even built yet. It's just like this sand lot. And we go visit during the day. We sign the papers. It's going to be ours. And it just so happens that two streets away from us, one of my oldest daughter's friends just moved to that area from New York. So we go over to their house to say hi, you know, hey, how's it going? And we're standing in front of their house. And when you're talking to them, you can kind of look over to your left and you see this other part of this field that eventually it's all sand at this point. It's wide open. And the sun's, you know, kind of coming to a sunset type of situation. It looks beautiful. You got the palm trees. I'm like, wow, this is really great. And the next thing you know, I get this super high pitch ringing in my ear. And it's my right ear. And as I'm talking to people, the minute that happens, I look up in the sky. And lo and behold, in front of me, again at the 1 to 2 o'clock position, and it's dusky, is this star slash object that's been going and changing color from red, green, blue, purple, indigo, violet. I'm like, this is just not a coincidence at this point. And I'll tell you, as an investigator for numerous years, I've been so attuned to craft in the area. Every time there's a ringing in either my right ear or my left ear, I always look up. And 9 out of 10 times, there is a strange object in the sky. And it's there. I don't know if it's because I've have missing time. I don't know if it's just I'm on the right frequency, because people that do, we'll call the term, vibrate better and at a higher level are more in tune to things that other people aren't. But it was there and I take note of it and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And I took a little video of it. Something very interesting in 2021, when all these UFOs, when this was happening to us, one of the most common thing reported, object reported on a global basis, not only to my group, the New York State UFO Project, which is a global organization and we do work around the world, but to many people, many different organizations, even from MUFON to NIFU to everybody who's doing it, is people are reporting and seeing an object in the sky that is turning red, green, blue, purple, orange, and with like a burst. It's the exact same object I've seen on numerous video encounters with this object. And I'm just like, okay, cool. There's some kind of connection here. I'm going to, you know, have to investigate this. And so I, you know, the ringing doesn't last too long. I look away from it. I turn my attention back to our friend who's moved over there into this area, I'm excited about it. I'm moving forward. I can't tell my family what I believe happened to them and the fact that we have missing time. Because, one, my kids, not that they're weak or innocent or anything, they are, but it wouldn't sit well with my youngest. My oldest is at the teenage years where she just like, yeah, whatever. And my wife would just have been, you know, you're crazy. And she wouldn't believe it, even though she's seen stuff that would, you know, turn most people pink. I mean, incredible things. But so I'm running this in my brain for a while. So we go about our, you know, after that visit and I see that craft, I don't have any more high-pitched sounds in my ear for the remainder of the week that we're there. We were there for a week and change. And we come back to the New York area that week and a half later. And one of my wife's oldest and dearest friends is a friend of ours. She has her own little child. When we get back into New York, we decide to meet for the day. And we do like a little bicycle riding and hang out with her and her child. And we decide, you know what, we're going to go to get something to eat. So I suggested this one place in Tarrytown. And mind you, Tarrytown is where the Headless Horseman is. And it's a great place, and I'm going to mention it because it's a great place. It's called Horse Feathers, and it kind of has that old pubish feel to it. It's got the old, literally, when you walk into this, if you've ever been in an English pub, it has that feel to it. And it's all based on these writers and, you know, Poe and authors, and it's just a wonderful place, good food and good times. But we couldn't get into the restaurant, so we're all sitting at a table outside. And everything's great. No problems. No nothing. I get up at the end of the meal and I go pay for it. And I said, listen, I'm going to go pay for the meal, use the facilities, and I'll meet you outside. So I go pay for it. I know the owner. I'm like, this is great food. I go in the back, take care of my business. And as I come out, my wife is sitting there like holding my oldest child. And I come out and I'm like, what happened? And she goes, she had a bloody nose. Now, like I've said before, and you know, regarding my oldest child, she never gets sick. I mean, she is, it's like a cast iron everything. She's not sick. She's not ill. She's never in pain. She never complains. And as far as nosebleeds are concerned, never. And it wasn't that any of the days around us were either too dry or too humid. They were perfect. It was perfect weather. And I go, okay. And my wife, being trained in first aid, you know, she's taking care of her daughter. And she goes, this came out of her. And I'm looking. She opens up the piece of paper, and she is holding in her hands something that's probably like a 16th of an inch or 2/16 of an inch thick by 2 to 3 inches by 2 to 3 inch square of something. And I'm blown away by this. How does this 2.5 inch by 2.5 inch square piece of something, and it felt very fleshy or rubberized flesh, you know, silicone-ish, like how the hell does this get in this kid's nose? We haven't been to a doctor. She's not, you know, she's not like she's three and she's putting things in her nostril. So I'm just perplexed, but I do have a couple of people at university levels that I could send this to and they could run tests. So thanks to the last 2+ years of a virus, I always keep in my pockets Ziploc, you know, sandwich bags. I used to use them to, you know, put my hands through to touch objects if I didn't have a glove. And I pull it out and I take that tissue and I put it into the Ziploc, and I Ziplocked it up. I'm going to send this out. This is the greatest evidence ever. And we go about our way. We stop her nosebleed. Well, my goal to send it out to, I was going to cut pieces out of it and send it to 3 different people in 3 different universities. One was at UCLA. Another person was at the University of Arizona. And there was someone in New York that I knew that was in a biochem lab. And for some reason, the minute I got home, I forgot all about it. I forgot the, I forgot that I had it, which is very odd because it wasn't no more than 40 minutes from that point of receiving it to getting home. And the first thing I was doing is going to put it in the freezer to freeze it. And that never worked. And it never happened. And to this day, I've seen a lot of bizarre objects as an investigator coming out of individuals. I've never seen something that large come out of anybody ever again. And unfortunately, because it wasn't taken care of properly, my evidence was lost. But I think that was done purposely. I think I was somehow told not to go forward with that evidence. And that was what's been, you know, what happened a year ago. So I always regret that, but the evidence and losing it. But, you know, that's life. When, as an investigator, it does happen. Let me fast forward, if you don't mind, to current status. About the month of October, I don't sleep very well. And in our new home, it's not that it's a new home. I got a lot going on in my mind. And every once in a while, I don't know if you've experienced it, but your brain just goes on and you start thinking about the strangest things. Like if we feed mayonnaise to fish, we can eliminate the whole process. You know, I mean, it just, you start calculating different things here and there. And normally it's difficult for me to go to sleep before 2-3 in the morning. I'm also used to investigating at that point. So, you know, maybe it's, you know, par for the course. But for this night, I went to bed and I was tired and I literally passed out like cold early about 10 o'clock at night, which my wife complained, you know, like, you really passed out early. Are you feeling okay? I said, yeah, I'm all right. But I woke up no later than about 2 o'clock in the morning after passing out. And I woke up because I have had a sensation in my rear, as we'll say, that felt very reminiscent to what I felt like after a colonoscopy. Now, my house is 100% secure. It's in a gated community. There's no problems of intruders, no locks, you know, broken on, or on the windows or the doors. I literally felt like I just had a colonoscopy. I was not happy. It was very upsetting. It hurt like hell. And I was looking at my wife. Did she, you know, did she by accident do something or whatever? She's passed out snoring away. And I was unnerved. I'm like, oh, this is not good. This is bizarre. I've never had this feeling before, except once, many years ago when I had to do that colonoscopy for some kind of test we were doing health-wise. So I couldn't sleep. I was up. I was trying to figure this out. And I left my bedroom and I walked outside to my living room. And I said, you know, I'm going to sleep here. Well, as I'm resting there, and if I fall off in about, like, you know, a half an hour, I get woken up immediately by my youngest child who comes downstairs and says, I had a bad dream. I had a bad experience, bad dream. I'm not going to go upstairs. I can't sleep. I said, okay, well, you want to tell me about it? She says to me, I saw the UFOs and aliens out my window. And I heard noise in the house, so I grabbed my beads. And I was taking them so I can whip them if they try to come near me. So I can't sleep up there. I'm not sleeping there. And at this point, being the years of experience I have investigating these things and having this correlation between my own personal experience and what my daughter is saying to me the very same morning that I'm having the experience and having, I thoroughly believe at that point that I was taken. I was abducted. Unfortunately, I can't prove it because I went to sleep at 10 o'clock in the morning, but physically something happened and it wasn't my wife's doing. And my daughter actually was seeing craft out her window. She described them to a T, said it's a big craft. It's got lights on the perimeter. There are these little guys that come out of it. They float in the air. I'm not going up there. And when they got from where I saw them towards the house, I heard noises. And that's when I grabbed my beats. I'm like, oh, okay.
I'm Richard Serrett. Join me on Strange Planet for in-depth conversations with the world's top paranormal investigators, alien abductees, Bigfoot trackers, monster hunters, time travelers, alternative archaeologists, remote viewers, and more.
As I was on the way to Area 51, I was stopping on the side of the road and just taking measurements, and I found this one spot where time slowed down by a fraction of a second. It's not supposed to do that.
From the two big categories, animal mutilations and human abductions, you have to conclude that genetic material is being harvested.
Well, I reached for a rifle, and I turned and looked, and it was already moving away, and it was descending the bluff. There's no way any human could have went down it. It was probably a 75-degree angle straight down, almost.
On Richard Serrett's Strange Planet, we're redefining reality. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do not go any further. Turn around, go home.
So, fast forward this last month and a half. My oldest daughter has never complained about any of it. She can sleep through a bomb going off. So, I'm not really concerned about her. But something of interest is my wife has been complaining about stomach problems. And she said, quote unquote, I feel like I'm bloated, like when I was pregnant. And I said, so it feels like you're pregnant? And she says, no, it feels like when I was pregnant. I said, good, because I was going to congratulate the new dad. The tubes are tied. So I'm like, well, that's pretty interesting. Your tubes are tied. And I jokingly said, well, maybe you were abducted. And I was jokingly saying it, but I have a feeling she was. But I can't come out and tell her straight up, like, I think you're being abducted. Because those sensations of the pregnancy, I've heard those several times before from people that have been abducted. And have literally, two of which had ultrasounds of what looks like a fetus. One day, and then with 2 days, it's gone. And they're freaked out. They know that they were pregnant. Everything pointed to them being pregnant. They had picture ultrasounds. So at this point in time, and I'm trying to figure out the best way I can prove what's going on, but I do believe that me, as well as my family, are now continuously being abducted here in Florida. And It's very interesting. There's a lot of telltale signs that are there, like I've mentioned. I'm still investigating, and once I get the answers, I'll be more than happy to come back and tell you what I found.
That's great, Brian.
Thank you.
You know, even from the very beginning, when you start taking the trip down to Florida, you know, it's like it's already kind of a setup.
You know, I'm kind of like, that's par for the course for someone who investigates it, right? So 2015, we were on a day-night investigation, myself, my partner, Al, and a friend of ours, Bill. A craft, literally, I have the video. If you want to see the video, it's on Bronxville Paranormal Society. And we see this craft. I go, what's that? And as I say, what's that? It stops moving from right to left, and it comes directly at us. It hits it with a light, and we have 2 hours of missing time after that. And what's interesting is if you listen with headphones on that video that I caught, one, it's only a minute long. I would never stop recording until the thing disappeared. Why did I stop? And I know why I stopped, because we were abducted. If you hear one of the guys there when they said, it sounds like they're robotic, like, I don't know what they're doing. That's how it sounds. It's nothing like this guy talks. And you could hear the craft having like a humming sound, like a, and then it like is like a melodic type of sound in between it. I sent the audio and the video over to a friend of mine in the West Coast, Derek Tyler, who's a multiple abductee. He wrote a great book, Alien Encounters, The Inconvenient Truth. And he told me before I interviewed, he goes, read these three chapters minimum And those three chapters scared the crap out of me. And I don't get scared very often unless a doctor says, it's a girl. But I said, Derek, what do you think about this? We're thinking about being regressed. And he said it best. He goes, how do you sleep? And I said, well, I don't really sleep very well. He goes, what is it, nightmares? I said, no, I have a hard time falling asleep initially. So I could sleep late. He goes, but when you go to sleep, do you sleep? I said, yeah. He goes, don't ever get regressed. It sounds like you were being downloaded. And if you're being downloaded, you're being abducted, and they're telling you different things, and they're giving you different information or whatever they're doing with you. You don't want to know what they're doing. Because once you open that Pandora's box, you can't close it. And we were supposed to get, all of us agreed to get, regressed. But my buddy Al went ahead without us knowing and was talking to a friend of ours, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and was going to get regressed by her first. He wasn't going to tell us till the regression because he didn't want us to. If it was bad, he wasn't going to tell us type of thing. And I know Al like really, really well. He's like a brother of mine. And I told him, you ever pull that crap again, I'm going to punch you in the face and we're done. I need to know I can trust you. I don't care what your curiosity is. You shouldn't have done it. But unfortunately, Rosemary, who is one hell of an investigator herself and an author, she passed away and that never happened. And I think that was done purposely. I purposely believe that if you kind of are doing something and you keep getting blocked or sidetracked, that's not a coincidence it happening. I think that something is letting you know, nope, you're not ready to understand what's going on. And that's the case with a lot of abductions. You know, people are freaked out initially, and then over time in numerous abductions, they slowly get introduced to maybe hybrids that they've created. They want to see the interaction between the mother and the father and the kids, you know, and then they slowly start giving you information about what's taking place in your planet, what possibly could take place in the future. And then you slowly get to remember this information, and then you become like an ambassador. It's just they only do it to people that can process it without freaking out. And maybe even though I investigate this stuff, it wasn't the right time for me to know. But I do 100% believe that all of us are being abducted and, you know, numerous times. I can't control it and I'm worried about my kids, but what am I going to do?
There's a couple of things that people can do these days that we couldn't so much do in the past. Because all of us have smartphones and some of us have these fit watches. Sometimes we're not that fit, but we still have these these healthy heart rate monitors.
Yep.
And because if someone's traveling to a location, we will have our location on if we're, you know, if we've got apps on for, you know, for the roads and the weather and all that kind of stuff. So because we have these smartphones and we have Google on these phones, and Google will track everywhere you go. So you can look back 2-3 weeks, a year, whatever, and it would tell you what you did that day, where you drove to, what time and all that. So it might be worth going into your Google.
Oh, I've done that. And my phone, it's really interesting because this is how I think too. First of all, my wife just started wearing her Apple Watch recently, you know, more recently now. Hell of a gift I got her. Oh, yeah, it's great. But what she does is at night, and all our kids do it, especially in the car, we each, you know, first of all, she didn't wear it in the car or on the trip down there. She didn't have it. Her phone was constantly plugged into the car. So the whole car wasn't taken, just each individual. And that's the same case with us when we got down to Florida. See, you know, I don't sleep with my phone on and with me on my physical person. So I'll plug my phone into a wall and have it charge at night, just like she'll do it, you know, someplace else. So that tracking device isn't present. I have a couple of cameras I just purchased that are night vision based cameras, but a newer technology that's not showing you the the UV light. It works off of motion and then it will kick in. So I have them set up now. I highly doubt I'm going to catch anything. I think 99% of the time, these beings, these race of beings are so good at what they do, they're not going to get caught doing it. and they have an ability to manipulate a certain visual spectrum or electromagnetic spectrum, or, you know, get that camera to malfunction at the time of entrance and exit, both on the pulling end or abducting end, as well as the reentry end. So, yeah, now I've been looking at that. I don't like the tracking to begin with, but I look at it. I'm like, oh, my God, they caught that. I've actually used it to get back to places that I was like, oh, that was a cool place, but I don't remember where it was, but I knew it was in this area. And I used to Google. But, I mean, I don't get my wife to do anything. You know, like, honey, can you just, like, put that watch on while you're sleeping? No, I don't want to. Because what happens is we get so many notifications, it vibrates, apparently, right? She'd be up all night. She goes, I can't wear it because it just keeps vibrating in my wrist and I wake up, you know. It's odd. Yeah.
A lot of people do take theirs off. Obviously, if you're trying to work out how your sleep's going and if you're snoring and how's your heart rate been, I mean, it's, you know, people use it for that. But yeah, people have a tendency to turn them off. But if, you know, if something has been going on, pop it on, you know, record. Obviously, you can't keep your phone on you because obviously they all go on a nightstand.
Right. And it's very interesting because something I did, my daughter said she heard different voices here in my old apartment. And what I used to do is, which is bizarre, I have a camera in my old apartment so I can always check the door and see if anybody's coming in. And I get audio from that. I get reports. There's nobody has the key to that place. No one goes in. And I get movement reports on a constant basis. And I look at the movement and I listen to the sound. And I swear to you, it sounds like there's conversations taking place in that apartment or a party. And I've sent it to other, if you want to call them paranormal investigators, people that really focus on the ghost. They go, that is the craziest audio I've ever heard. You know? So what I did was, I actually have a digital voice recorder. I have a couple of those because I paranormal investigate, you know, ghosting. And what I would do is I set it on voice activated. So I'm not wasting my time. I've left it in the home and it's interesting. My daughter has woken up and go, yeah, I heard that sound again. I heard those voices again. There was a conversation. So I go back to the recorder and there's nothing recorded. That throws me for a loop. I'm like, okay, well, that was a bust. But I still do it because you know what? One day these entities, these spirits, they're gonna get soft. They're gonna get off, you know. They're going to go out the night before, get Taiwan on, and they're going to come out to work drunk. And they're going to miss, you know, pressing that button that deactivates electronics. And I'm going to get these bastards on film.
I know a few years ago, I would wake up. My wife would say, like, I was talking in my sleep. You know, just talking crap. So what I did was, now, if people out there, you know, listeners want to try this, but if you do try this, you probably won't want to sleep in your bedroom again. So I would record the night, be asleep. And yeah, I would speak just complete irrelevant crap. It would be just crap. Right. But I would get other voices on there. And I continued doing it for, you know, a couple of months. And you'd hear voices and movement in the room when there shouldn't be.
Right.
They weren't our voices. So I suggest if you do try it out there, be aware that you may pick up stuff and you may not want to sleep in your bedroom or even your house again.
Or your wife or a spouse may say something. You're like, oh, that's it. We're divorced. Something that I did do, and this comes from years ago, when we do a paranormal investigation, we have a psychic. She's freaking awesome. She's like a sister to me. But when I first went out, before, you know, Al started our group, the Bronxville Paranormal Society, one of the first investigations, what he does is he has the psychic vet everybody. And we do that for a reason, because if we're going out into a situation, we're going to make sure that you're okay to go out. There's no problems with you. You're not going to cause problems or endanger anybody. And we've got to make sure that you're, you know, you're not nuts. So one of the things, you know, that she can do is when she senses somebody has the potential for ability, I'm going to use the term psychic, but is very sensitive to raising their frequency vibration. She gets a little tingle. She says it's like if you put a 9-volt battery to your tongue. She goes, and I get that tingle. And when she got to me, I was the last one she reviewed. My buddy said she got blown off her chair. So apparently, I had abilities. So I said, you know, asked my partner in crime, Al, I'm like, you know, contact her, contact Cindy, and I want to talk to her about this. I want to explore this a little bit, but I don't want to open the Pandora's box. So she agreed, and and we started talking about what gifts and abilities I have, and the fact that I put walls up, which I do, because being from a real metro area, you have to have some walls up to protect yourself. You know, you always have to be a little bit on guard. But I do have abilities. I call it remote viewing. She says I'm psychic. I don't believe it as being psychic. I don't want to come off as whatever, but I think I am at this point as well. I mean, I do remote viewing. I view people remotely. I've always used it to help other people. But something that was happening as I started using and going through the process of viewing or going someplace remotely, it's like a muscle. So the more you exercise the muscle, the easier it is and the more muscles you make. And new muscles grow on top of old muscles. And I have something at night. You have a dream. There are dreams you can have. And then there are experiences, okay? And this is the difference. When you have a dream, you think there was a Smurf, and I think he was playing golf with an ice cream cone, but I couldn't really tell, and it was kind of funky. It's very vague. You get bits and pieces of it, right? But when you have an experience, and when I say an experience is, you think, you feel, you know you're in bed, you're quote unquote sleeping, but you're not. Your consciousness never sleeps. And when you have an experience, you can get all the details you need. I mean, the innermost details of it. And when you wake up from an experience instead of a dream, you're more tired than you've ever been because you've been up all night. Your body may have physically been lying in your bed, but you've been there. So I've had a couple of times where, and it's ramping up recently, I'm getting information about things taking place. I post them constantly on social media where you can find me, and I will be posting them on my website, you know, brianbowden.com, when I stop being lazy and fix the darn thing. But recently, I had an experience, and I woke up the morning and I contacted a friend of mine because he was in the dream and he had a heart or liver or a kidney issue. And I said, I know this is going to sound crazy, but please go to a doctor and get your heart, kidney, or liver checked out. I think there's going to be a problem there. And he didn't take it that well. And he thought, you know, it was crazy. Like, you know, why on God's earth would you tell somebody this? And I said, well, I've done this before. I've experienced the same thing before, and it's come true. I have a brother that had an issue. I saw his son and daughter-in-law in that experience. I've never met these people in my life. I knew it was heart-related, and I knew he'd be okay. And the very next day, I actually saw him at my meeting, and I said, told him exactly what was going to happen. I begged him, please go to your doctor, get checked out. I described his daughter-in-law and son to a T, never seeing them ever before. He was very gracious. He's actually from Western-Supermare in the UK, but he's here in the US. And part of the thing he does to bide his time as a retiree now is he's a crossing guard for the kids. And a week later, he was there at the corner and he was crossing the kids. And somebody blew the stop sign and was about to run over a child. And he leaped into action, grabbed the kid, and both him and the child almost got hit. And the process, something he felt, he didn't feel very good. So he goes home to his wife and says, you need to take me to the hospital right now. And they go to the hospital. He blew a stent in near his heart in the arteries. And they he literally said to me, he goes, I remember what you said to me. And I immediately told her to take me to the hospital. And had I not listened and had I just blown you off, I'd be dead right now. But because of what you told me, I literally went to the doctor and I'm alive. So this is what I told the other person. And if they choose to believe it or not, I don't care. I can't save the world. I can give you information. I could try to help you resolve something when things like that happen to me. But I'm not here to constantly nag you to do something. You know, that's what my wife and kids are for. They nag me to do things, you know, in a loving way. But yeah, that's the difference between dreams and experiences.
I think people which have some form of foresight, foresense, in fact, whether it's a gut reaction, I think you have to go with it and don't ignore things, especially this day and age.
Right. And it's funny. It's not, look, I'm not doing this because I want to be special. I tell this to everybody. You may not believe in a higher power. I believe in God. Okay. I believe in a supreme being. I will not call it source. It's God for me. When God made man, and man is a universal term for men and women, God made man in his image. And part of being made in your image of God is giving you certain abilities that would be considered godlike. And we all have these abilities and gifts, but most people calcify them with, you know, talk about fluoride or anything that upsets your pineal gland, which is in the center of your head, between the eyes, your third eye, let's say. So it's calcified, so it's harder to work. They purposely don't, they want to do that. They don't want you getting and raising your vibration, your feeling, your essence, your soul to a higher level, because it's about control in this world. But we all have this ability to do it. And once you start exercising that ability, things will start coming easier. Most people get it, and women are very big on this. They are the first to actually have abilities of precognition, telekinesis, psychometry, you name it, because they use two sides of their hemispheres, you know, of the brain. They use a little bit on each side. They're very creative. And also people that are creative use these products, you know, like this ability. It's the people that, it's very interesting, the people that never would ever think about, you know, oh, that's a scam, or you guys are, you know, it's a sideshow trick. Normally when they have a traumatic event, which is, and it results in either brain injury or something to that effect, that's when these gifts start popping out. And most of the modern day well-known and reliable psychics have had that kind of experience. So yeah, we all have these gifts and abilities. Listen to your gut.
I believe that everyone has the ability, and yeah, nations have been dumbed down with, you know, whatever junk they're putting in our food, putting in our water, filling our heads from the TV. They have been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, you know, with the problem I have is with whatever gifts I have, I spend a substantial amount of time fighting that, you know, because I don't. Your business is your business. It's not my business. If you ask me for help, then it slightly becomes my business, but it's still your business. And there are psychics out there that will take advantage of that, and they'll make it their business, your business. And I purposely don't want to know what you're talking about. So I fight a lot of that because, you know what? I need a moment to myself too. You know, I don't want to be on 24/7. All right. You know, like George McFly, and like Darth Vader came to my house and said he'd melt my skull if I didn't take her to the dance. You know, like, I don't need that. But yeah, it's great. Take care of yourself. And the best way you can do that, iodine. If you eat a lot of fish with iodine in it, or take iodine supplements, actually, it's good for your thyroid in this day and age, but it's going to decalcify that pineal gland where you are, and it's going to help you understand things and get to a higher plane. It's almost like a religious experience, just so you know.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, it's something everyone can explore.
Yeah.
Get your body in balance, get your head in balance. It is very possible to tap into these. I say gifts, you know, you can call them gifts, but, you know, it is very possible.
Yeah. I mean, that's a nice way of, you know, I guess crabs are gifts too.
It's not a gift I'd want at Christmas or any time of the year.
Yeah, no, I don't want that from Father Christmas. But it is what it is, and I take it, and I'm able to do things with it. And mind you, the logical side of me, because I did study at one point physics and astronomy, and you know, think about becoming an astrophysicist along with engineering. I question all this stuff. I just don't take it, you know, even now after doing this for a bunch of years. And it's good to have a close mate, you know, or friend around, like, look, this is what's happening. What do you think? And that's my buddy Al, my partner in crime. He's like a brother to me. And, you know, he hears me out. He'll tell me straight up, like, nah, that doesn't sound right. But he'll tell me, like, dude, you got to tell people. You got to tell them. And I think partially he does it because he's not the one telling anybody, you know? Yeah. So that was that.
Absolutely. Had you had experiences similar to what, you know, you've been saying on the trip, you know, on the trip down to Florida in your past, like early on?
I've had the ringing in the ear. I've always had this fascination or this draw from stars and the sky. Like I've always, ever since I was a little kid, I felt like I belong up there. I can't describe it. I don't know how to describe it. I have had experiences growing up, and we'll take it as vivid dreams, not nightmares, but dreams of entities and aliens. And, you know, I initially chalked that up to just being like an overactive imagination, because I love monsters and UFOs and Leonard Nimoy in a turtleneck talking about these things from the 70s. You know, so, you know, you chalk it up as an overactive imagination, but it's very interesting. I'm self-taught musician. I'm not a master at it. I play guitar, piano, bass, and I'm self-taught at that. I'm an artist. Quantitatively, I taught myself math. I was a financial analyst for a while. There's certain, if you look back at the timeline and say when you started doing things, you'll see that the people that are constantly contacted are going to eventually get big contact. And it's almost like we're being, you know, we're being educated slowly going through that. Here, give him drips and drabs. He's not ready yet, or she's not ready yet. And then they hit you with the ringing in the ear, the missing time, and you know something's going on. But to this day, I haven't had any. I do have the last couple of days a pressing need that I think something needs to come out or be stated, but I can't put my thought on it. But other than that, nothing, like no images in my head, or, you know, I'm not drawing some kind of funky engine or writing the molecular structure for element, you know, 287 or whatever. So nothing like that.
Okay, not yet.
Not yet. I hope not.
The UFO project. Tell us a little bit about that there, Brian. If someone wants to reach out to you, what's their best way?
Well, we do have websites. So, but the best way to reach out to us is on social media. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on, you name it, we're on it. And I did that purposely because we deal with a lot of different subjects, from cryptids and ghosts to elementals to UFOs. And if you have a question, I'm reachable on Facebook, Brian M. Bowden. PM me, say, I heard you on UFO Chronicles and I wanted to ask about X. And I will reply back to you and I'll answer any questions, anything. So you can get us on Facebook. The New York State UFO Project was created because it's really interesting when you're in this whole paranormal genre. People that do ghost hunting get upset if you also have Bigfoot in there and a werewolf and cryptids and UFOs. Like, oh, no, you can't do that. Just vice versa. People in the cryptid world don't want to have anything to do with UFOs. So we started the New York State. Well, I started the New York State UFO Project on two reasons: to give us another vehicle, because we're going to do it anyhow, even though all these subjects are very much connected. But we also knew that there was a need for people out in the field, that in the world, that have had experiences and they have no place to go. We gave them that place to go. We used to do live meetings in New York State. Once was in Yonkers, New York, we would meet. And then 3 weeks later, or 2 weeks later, we would drive up to upstate New York, place called Red Hook, and meet there. And we'd have people literally join us, abductees, believers, people interested in, like, what the heck's going on. And we gave them a place where they can be with like-minded individuals in a comfort zone. No one's going to judge them. And they can finally get some information off their chest. And we've had many people come, and it's taken them years. I mean, 2 years to finally open up and say, I think I've been abducted. Or my child came to me the other day and told me that I'm not her real mother, but these reptilians are. takes a lot to go through. And we gave them a vehicle and helped them out with that. That's why we really did it. We're going to investigate anyhow, but people need help and they don't know where to go, especially with the subject, even though it's been really brought to the mainstream now, but it's still, there's a lot of ridicule involved with it. And we don't want to take part in that. We just want to help people.
Wonderful. And it's nationwide, so people can reach out to you from anywhere in the U.S.
Yes, they can. And I have a number. I have a hotline number. It's 516-519-3648. That's not only for the New York State UFO Project. It's for any type of, we started New York State Sasquatch Org. Again, global, we're just using New York State as a base. We have the New York State Dogman Project, which is a bipedal upright canid. Think American Werewolf in London or a super something from Van Helsing. And you can report anything you want to us and we will get back to you. And if we can't physically get there, we will find people to help you in your area, in your country, and we'll get you answers the best we can.
Wonderful. So it's worldwide, basically. People can reach out to you from all over the world. Okay, that's brilliant.
Yes, yes.
To those listeners out there that are walking their dogs, they're on the subway, driving their cars,
yep.
I will put all the links, as usual, in the description and on the website so you can reach out to Brian if
you
need his help. That's wonderful, Brian.
Oh, I appreciate it.
No problem.
Again, enjoy the rest of your day. I want to take you away from everything. It's been a pleasure.
Brian, I really appreciate you coming on, sharing that for our listeners.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me. You have a blessed day.
You too, Brian.
Have a good one, Nick.
Take care, sir.
Be well.
Sleep well. You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Brian for sharing tonight and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.